Accession number 30267, Reel 8.
We're lost in Alan Mines. One, two, three, with various moderations of icing and index and flak and so on and so forth. And then we had a new flight commander, a squadron leader, Birkin. And it was strange because he was a cousin of Sir Edwin Birkin, the racing motorist, who, when I was a page boy in the West End, I used to take up to his room when because he was the equerry to the Duke of Gloucester at that time. Anyway, get back to this. I went with him for the conversion to the type. He hadn't done the flown the nine before. Right.
I could just say here the end of reel 7 and the start of reel 8. Right, Joe.
Ah. Then there's an experiment. We did with my Pampa 19, which wasn't an operation as wasn't considered. It was a stooge. We weren't given an operation for that, which was very annoying because if we didn't cross enemy territory, and yet people had been lost without crossing enemy territory. However, then we were sent on. Then on our way back, the weather was filthy. It was low down. We were told to divert, and Norris said, "We can't divert. We've got to meet so and so in Huntingdon." The someone were his girlfriend and someone else. Anyway, he said, "Look, you take me over." He said, "And I'll take a fix on the end of the runway, and then you do a normal circuit, and I'll talk you in." And so I did. I was a little apprehensive about this because the G had its fallibilities, so to speak, but he was quite happy and quite certain, and I know he was excellent on it. And sure enough, we made the circuit, and I was prepared to overshoot. I hadn't put everything down, only part flap, and I could have overshot if I felt it necessary. But he brought me down, and I could then, we broke cloud, and there was the end of the runway just a little ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So I throttled back and made a landing. And everybody was absolutely amazed that we could get in on such short visibility. And I had a talk with Squadron Leader Birkin about this, and I explained the system that we used on it. And he said, by all means, go and try it out on all of the ends of each of the runway and in different directions and see if there was any snags attached to it. And we developed this I called a G approach experiment, you see? And we used it from time and time again. It was a situation where you could take a fix, say, onto any field or any position, right? Go a circuit and come back to that spot and then land straight ahead with it. There was a development to this. We, after we tried it out, and several other observers tried it out as well and found that it was useful, we put it up to headquarters. And they sent a squadron leader down, supposed to be some expert, who took Norrie and tested this. And when he came down, he said, yes, he made 6 approaches on every end of the 3 runways, and he could have landed without any trouble and so on. So go back to headquarters. Then a signal comes back, we were not to use this form of landing. the acknowledgement was, whereas we were specialised, it was not for those who weren't specialised. And what they did, as I understood it, they passed it on to Coastal Command, where a yard or two this way or the other wouldn't matter a damn. But I'm just wondering what decoration whoever recommended this scheme was done, and all through Norrie Gilroy's expertise.
So he didn't get any credit for it?
No.
Not you and Norrie?
No.
No, that's... this really was allowing planes to land in poor weather accurately.
Anywhere.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, then we did a couple of operations for the Americans. One of them to 5 degrees east, the base, and then I went to Laval, Bordeaux, Tours, where we had a 400-foot base on return, ice on the runways. Another one, Amiens, Paris, Le Havre, and
there was this very special one in Berlin, wasn't
yes
there?
Coming up to that in yes. a moment.
Yes, I think we need to select them, don't you? You've given a very good account
right.
of the job.
There is one I will mention now, Pampa 26, op number 30. Now, I was called to the briefing office and I was taken off the roster. I said, why? I said, well, we've got a special operation for you. We're taking you off the roster. And they modified a mosquito to carry a third person in the nose. And I had to do consumption. They added additional petrol tanks. And I had to do test flying to the transfer of the petrol, made sure that the petrol tanks transferred back from the overload, so to speak. Anyway, I said, well, where are we going? And they said, Berlin. And I said, well, we can do Berlin and back. We've done it before so many times with an hour or so to spare. Oh, no, he said, we've got to have these extra tanks. They didn't brief me as what exactly was going to happen. All they said is, Joe, you will fly to Cottershall on the coast and you will take a direct flight to Berlin. No diversion, no alterations of track or the God thing. Just one line straight to Berlin. I said, are you crazy? So that's what you've got to do. So who was I to argue here? And now an extra passenger was the so-called headquarters navigation chief or buff or whatever. Well, I didn't think much of him personally, but still, never mind. I said, well, okay, why not Norrie? Why not Norrie? No, you can't take Norrie. You've got to take a Gert Green. Now, Gert Green was our adjutant. And again, a very nice fellow, quite experienced. But I'd never flown with Gert before. But anyway, that was the job we had in hand. They ignored my comments and my complaints. But hey, then I'll read from my logbook. Pampa 26, operation number 30, Berlin. Carrying Wing Commander Anderson, DFC, and Flying Officer Green, DFC. Circled for 35 minutes, 72 aircraft lost, 2,600 tons of bombs dropped, and a belt of fire 6 miles wide.
Searchlights and fighters are very active. Coned and heavy flak at Hamburg on return. That's my entry of my logbook. But what happened, and I didn't know about it before we went to make sure that we got to Berlin 5 minutes before the main force, we had to take this direct line, regardless of anything opposition. And the reason for that was we could be sure of a back bearing from Kottershaw on the coast, navigation wise. Well, you do as you're told when you're in the Air Force most of the time, and I did as I was told, and we got there and we circled Berlin for 35 minutes. But that wasn't the crux of the matter. On a minute before the bombing time for the main force, all of a sudden in my ears came, "Come along, Canadians, remember Dieppe." And I didn't know that there was a transmitter other than my own transmitter on the aircraft. And this was Wing Commander Anderson transmitting, "Come on, Canadians, remember Dieppe." Immediately, boom, radar-directed searchlights were on us. And we were coned and more than I've ever known before. Then he said, "You see those poor buggers up in the searchlights? That's us." I could have killed him. However, and with that amount of searchlights, you can't do very much about. But, of course, there was a very, very heavy attack below at that time. The bombing had started. And, of course, any night fighters would go for the easier target down below and ignore us up where we were. Well, now, we lost 72 aircraft that night. I saw 12 go down myself. That means I witnessed 12 times 7 people who died that night. And it was, I assure you, upsetting. Very upsetting. Later on, we evaded the searchlights. We got out of them because they were too busy elsewhere, presumably. And at half an hour, I said, "Well, it's about time we went back." He said, "Well, once more round, Joe." So we circled for 35 minutes. And then, out of the blue, one of his other transmission was, "Pity the poor Hun tonight," because there was a hell of a thing. And somebody else broke radio silence and said, "Serve the bastards right." And then, "Righto, boys, let's go home to our bacon and eggs." That was his last transmission. And then a weak voice came back. And you can imagine somebody perhaps lost an engine or delayed in takeoff and so on. And so, there was a belt of fire 6 miles wide. "What about another marker?" And we really had a good laugh. Yeah, you can visualise some poor chap, you know, real lost an engine, perhaps it was delayed, but press on type. What about another marker? Well, they left the coming back to me. I can come back how I like, not a direct line if I find it. And we got plastered again over Hamburg. There was heavy flak again over Hamburg, but we got back. And there's a sequel to that too. The following day, I was OC flying, and one of our pilots came up to me and said, "Susan, so do you see, after a leave, we usually like to take an aircraft up for a, f- familiarisation, just for a trip round and a couple of circuits and landing. And said, could we have a trip round? I said, by all means, you take Escort Sugar. I said, we had her last night. I flew her for 5 hours or whatever it was last night, and she's okay. You take her. He went. They took off. The next minute, I hear the aircraft had blown up. Now, I'll refer to my logbook. I had flown that aircraft for 4 hours, 40 minutes that night before. And here a chap took off just a few minutes and he blows up. We could only imagine that the throwing about that was necessary with these searchlights and various other things on the way back, and the flak on the way back, might have chafed a wire to the overload tanks or whatever. This is the only thing we could imagine, because there was no message, there was no, and various people had various reports. One said they saw him with one engine on a light, another said other things, and so on and so forth. But they died, and that also was the other occasion. There were the three real occasions that I was upset. Was we got away with it all that time, and one poor fella come back from leave and so on, and another two families were the lost ones.
So if I could just clarify your role in this little plane, the Mosquito rather, with the two other people up there above the main force.
My role was simply to fly it.
Yeah. What was the purpose of that plane being there?
It was the very first time it was done. Propaganda over the target.
Is that what it was all about?
That's what it was considered. Whether it was there, I have, in actual fact, a report that was on the notice board the day after this particular operation. You like me to read it to you?
Yes, please.
Berlin raid, night 24th of the 5th, March. A great force of RAF heavies attacked the German capital last night and dropped the largest bomb load ever. As far as is known, the raid was a complete success, although the target indicators scattered towards the south at the close. The unusual part of the attack was the pep talk which was given to the crews over the target by Wing Commander Anderson of PFF headquarters, flown there by that intrepid birdman Joe Patient, who in his turn was navigated there by that other intrepid airman, Flying Officer Green. The result of the raid was, of course, sealed by the assistance of these three press-on types. With persuasive encouragement, the main force carried right on to the heart of the Third Reich with complete disregard to the intense opposition from flak and night fighters. Whether or not this method of attack will be repeated is, of course, a military secret, but without doubt, great credit must be given to the tenacity of this Gen crew. That was on the notice board the day after. Load of bull.
Well, finally, Joe, because I think you probably, and I can hear that Lucy is in distress, were there occasions when your reports were not taken seriously? I know you mentioned a Nuremberg.
Yes. I think the new that
particular night when we lost 72 aircraft was followed literally by the following Saturday, where we lost over 90 at Nuremberg, which was the biggest single loss. What a lot of people would find it difficult to understand, that on those two occasions we literally lost more aircrew than fighter command during the whole war. Or at least during the Battle of Britain. I'm reading from my book now. Two rather routine flights on the 30th of March 44 must, however, be mentioned. Norrie and I took off at 10:35 hours to 55 degrees north, 05 degrees east, after which we reported 4/10 cumulus cloud over the sea, with cloud base at 1,600 feet and tops at 9,000 feet. A large amount of cumulus was noted and reported to the north of our furthest position. Landed at 12:35. A further pamper deep into Germany was carried out by Flying Officer T. Oakes and Flight Lieutenant Gale, taking off at 1,200 hours. They reported seeing only fair weather cumulus throughout their route. These rather mundane flights are mentioned because of their relation to what has been described as the greatest error of judgment in any operation of Bomber Command, resulting in its biggest single loss. It would seem that the two reports were discounted because the bombing raid on Nuremberg that night was carried out in full moonlight and with little cloud cover. The results were disastrous. 95 aircraft, 64 Lancasters and 31 Halifaxes were lost, with very little damage to the target. Witten was like a morgue. Now this I remember. It was like a morgue, with so many aircraft lost from every station virtually. And without a very great success story to attach it to.
And as you said earlier,
it wasn't very, very good for morale on that particular occasion.
Yes, that must have been, you know, a loss like that, as with the earlier one, very damaging to morale, wasn't it? Yeah. As you say, for every plane, there are five people inside.
Well, seven.
Yes.
Normally seven.
Seven people, yes.
You had your pilot, co-pilot. Navigator, flight engineer, bomb aimer, and two air gunners. Well, wireless operator, and one of the others. There were two air gunners, but one did both jobs. The bomb aimer was an air gunner as well.
Yes, that's a lot of men.
So seven.
Yes. Well, thank you, Joe. I think you've had enough for today, haven't you?
Yeah, I feel a bit emotional at the moment.
Yes, I can imagine you do. It must be very upsetting when you think of your...
I do. When I read this, I get upset.
Yes.
I shouldn't, after all those blooming years, but still.
Yes. Yes, well, you're human, aren't you? You're only human.
Well, it's nice to be told that. A lot of people would doubt it.
Oh, I doubt that.